Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome in to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. Tech Talk, of course, your regular source of accessible technology interviews and reviews from a blindness and partially sighted perspective. It's great to have you with us. And don't forget, of course, Tech Talk, it's your program, so do get in touch. The email address, as always, it's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's Tech Talk, T-E-C-H-T-A-L. LK@rnib.org.uk. Coming up on Tech Talk this time, we'll be talking with Karthik Kannan, who is one of the co-founders and the CTO at Envision. We'll be exploring how you can make those pesky PDFs more accessible using the JAWS screen reader, and we'll be reading your email as well. Welcome in to our co-hosts, Tazni Marshad and Callum Stoneman. How are you both? Anything in the technology world catching your eyes and ears and fingers this week?
Hello, yeah, we're back. Good to be here. Not much new from me recently. I'm still just investigating some of the things that we saw at Site Village a couple of weeks ago. So that was a really interesting event. And yeah, we've got a good show coming up this time. That Envision interview is great, so do stick around for that. And PDFs as well, obviously notorious for being pretty painful. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about this.
Hi, Taz. Anything in the world of technology grabbing your attention at the moment?
Well, actually, interesting you should say that, Dave. I recently used the Envision app to identify products. It's a feature I haven't really used before, and I was reasonably impressed with it. I thought it was really good. So I've been exploring that a little bit and really looking forward to hearing more about making those PDFs accessible.
Excellent stuff. Well, the thing that grabbed my attention not that long ago was, of course, the new announcements from Aira. This is the professional visual interpretation service from the US, where you're connected with a sighted agent. And that, of course, is available on your phone. But Aira now talking about Aira Anywhere. So they're introducing some glasses. You'll be able to get Aira on the Blindshell Classic and also Aira on your PC as well. So it's quite exciting. So, yeah, watch this space and hopefully we can catch up with Aira here on Tech Talk very soon. Well, great stuff. Welcome in both Callum and Tazneem. Looking forward to another Tech Talk.
Now, you might remember on our first episode of Tech Talk, which feels like ages ago, we had a little demonstration of the Envision smart glasses. Well, I'm delighted to be joined now from Envision by Karthik. Karthik, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Thanks so much for having me, Callum. It's been going hectic, but absolutely delightful.
So for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about Envision, because it comes in several forms, doesn't it? There's the app and there's the glasses, but just tell us a bit in general about the product and what it does and what problems you're kind of aiming to solve with it.
Sure. So Envision is a company essentially that's building tools that help people with a visual impairment to live more independently using artificial intelligence. Envision started back in 2017, and we initially started Envision with the aim of building AI-based assistive technology on wearables. But in 2017, wearables were more or less science fiction, right? There was no wearable that we could actually go ahead and build really powerful AI-based assistive technology on. So what we did was we eventually, you know, started off by building the Envision app. And in the early days, the Envision app was a smartphone app that you could install on iOS or Android that could help visually impaired people to read text, recognize faces, recognize objects, and so much more. Somewhere around 2019, Envision won the Google Play Award for the best accessibility experience. I had a chance to travel to the Google headquarters in Mountain View and talk about, you know, how we wanted to take the Envision technology and put them onto a wearable device. And that's basically how the Envision Glasses project started. So, you know, the folks at Google at that point in time told me that they were working on the next version of the Google Glass. They said that they were primarily looking to build the hardware for enterprises that have massive warehouses so that people could do like remote teleconferencing and all those things with the glasses. It wasn't aimed at the consumers, but they absolutely loved Envision's idea of taking AI and then putting it onto wearables to make it easy for people with a visual impairment to use such technology. So they gave us a couple of prototypes of their Google Glass. So I came back to the Netherlands, started building the Envision glasses. We launched the Envision glasses in March of 2020, and we as a pre-order campaign, and we shipped the first pair of Envision glasses in October of 2020. Envision glasses essentially is smart glasses that can help visually impaired people to read text, recognize faces, recognize objects, even make video calls directly from the Envision glasses itself to their friend or a family member. Apart from that, it's something that you can just wear on your face. It looks like a regular pair of glasses. On the right-hand side of the glasses, you have a camera that's pointed towards the center, that's angled towards the center. It's a wide-angle camera. And then there is a multi-touch trackpad that's located right next to your temple. You also have a speaker and a microphone that's located right next to your right ear as well. So what we did was we essentially built a version of TalkBack or VoiceOver on the glasses. So as you do the gestures, the glasses speak out the different options or the actions that you do, very similar to a screen reader through the speakers. And, you know, using the glasses, you would be able to, for example, easily scan a book or read a handwritten note, for example, or scan a document. And those are some of the things that you could do with the AI. What you can also do with the glasses, like I mentioned, you know, just now, is you can make video calls. So we have something called the Envision Ally feature, where you can make a video call directly from the glasses to a friend or a family member. And then they see the camera feed that's on the glasses. They also hear the audio from your side, the glasses user side, and then you as a glasses user hear what the allies say from the other side as well. So they can also make video calls directly from the glasses. You know, we've been constantly updating the Envision glasses for the last couple of, it's going to be almost 2 years since we launched the glasses, and we've had more than 30 updates of the Envision glasses itself. And, you know, you can easily update the glasses, just like how you go ahead and update like a regular pair of glasses. And the glasses basically offer 5 to 8 hours of battery life. And if you put the glasses on standby, you can get almost twice that amount just by putting the glasses on standby itself. Of course, depends on the usage, depends sometimes also on the weather conditions. But roughly this is a small introduction about the glasses and what we do as a company.
Amazing. And it is an incredible product. I think there's a lot of this that we take for granted, isn't there? You know, for example, being able to make video calls. I mean, I always think of times when I'm lost, and I'll kind of, as long as it's safe, obviously, I'll kind of FaceTime my wife and say, right, where am I? But, you know, I'm stood there with my phone held out, which obviously isn't ideal. And I guess as well as scanning documents and stuff, I guess that sort of thing is where the beauty of like the video call feature is, isn't it? You know, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the really big drivers for building the Envision glasses, a lot of people might, you know, think that the glasses or rather a lot of things that glasses can do is what other apps do. But one of the main reasons why we built the glasses was it is a very cumbersome process to hold a phone in your hand and point around. You know, the most ideal way of experiencing the glasses or experiencing AI or being able to do things very fluidly is through a wearable. Because when you have a phone in one hand and a cane or a guide dog in the other hand, like you said, you know, when you're FaceTiming somebody, can get really awkward or can get really cumbersome to point stuff around. Whereas with the glasses, when you're actually wearing them, people see everything from like a first person perspective, which makes it really easy for you to look around and to point at things. And since your hands are free, you're able to do a lot more. You're able to be a lot more agile than just having your phone in your hand and pointing it around. So I think that is one of the key reasons why we work so hard on the Envision glasses, is because so many things that people do with today's smartphone, like trying to scan a document or trying to recognize an object, all that stuff gets incredibly easy to do when you actually have a pair of glasses on your head. And then you can just look around with your head and you have so much more flexibility and fluidity of motion rather than having your hand around and pointing stuff. Yeah.
There are things that I really like about the smart glasses. I love the fact that they're lightweight. I think these features are amazing, and the fact that there's a variety of different things in there, like the describe the scene. I particularly like the identifying the cash, you know, the money feature. I think that's really good. I think in terms of what I found challenging initially is I wanted to use the smart glasses for reading purposes as the main thing, to be able to access a variety of different reading materials. So when the glasses were first demonstrated to me, they were demonstrated by a sighted person. So when they were looking at the clock on the wall, this was done in my workplace. So they were looking at the clock, and it was sort of saying, yes, there's a clock on the wall. And every time they looked at a book, so I had maybe 5 to 6 different pieces of information from books, magazines, etc. And, you know, whenever it was tested by the sighted person using the glasses and demonstrating to me, I was really impressed as to how much information the glasses were able to pick up. So, of course, I was thinking, yes, these are going to be really, really good for me. What I particularly liked was that my administrator at work had written some handwritten information, and I was able to read that information, which I found amazing. I was literally astounded at that. Because I hadn't come across any wearable device or OCR app that would actually do that. And to read a handwritten note for the first time in my life was just amazing, that I didn't have to have that physically read out by a human. Actually, the Envision glasses did that, and I was so impressed with them. So we progressed on to ordering these and purchasing them, and they came, and I was really looking forward to kind of utilizing them in my work. And I think the key struggle I've had is when I personally started using them and testing them with a variety of different documentation in different lightings, I tried to connect them to my Wi-Fi at work. Now, the Wi-Fi is a little bit temperamental, so I thought maybe this was the issue. Then I brought them home and I tested them here with my home Wi-Fi. The problem that was occurring for me was that it kept giving me an automated message saying that it wasn't recognizing what I was trying to scan, trying to use the instant function, scan function on it. So it would take me maybe 10 to 15 times before it would capture the page and recognize. And I thought that was very strange. So eventually my conclusion was that it must be the way that I'm looking at this information. So I asked my administrator to take the glasses home, to connect them to her Wi-Fi, and to test out whether actually it is something to do with the Wi-Fi connections that is the issue, or actually is it the way that I'm angling, you know, I'm not seeing it. Is something I'm doing wrong in utilizing this? Because I was a bit surprised to see how a sighted person could actually capture everything and read everything, you know, so well. And actually, when I came to do it myself, how difficult and challenging this was for me. So she went off home, she took the smart glasses, she tested them at home in her own time, and fed back to me that actually every time she tested them, they did really well in terms of recognition. Occasionally the internet was an issue, but mainly it read everything really well, and she was very impressed with them. So that leads me to draw the conclusion that actually, as a VI user, the key difficulty here for me after thorough testing, well, my thorough testing, you know, I'm not an IT technician, is that trying to capture that information as a visually impaired person. Now, I have some sight, so and I can see usually the contrast between the black ink on a page against the white background. So I felt that I was being fairly accurate in kind of where I was centering the camera and things, but clearly I wasn't. So that's been the key thing, is getting that technique right to actually be able to capture it all. And the fact if there's an auto function that does that for you, and I don't know if that's part of the new feature or not, but that is something that would be really amazing, I think, to have maybe some more guidance on when you've got everything captured, or for that feature to occur automatically. That's my key feedback for you today in terms of, if there is anything in the pipeline that can improve that, I think would be really, really incredible. And I think the other thing for me is the, whilst you are waiting for the information to be processed, to have the options of maybe 3 or 4 different sounds that you could put on, actually, like maybe horses galloping or, you know, I don't know, maybe a couple of other things that would be quite nice to have as an addition. So the user has the choice of maybe having what option they would like whilst they are, you know, whilst they're waiting for the information to be processed. I don't know what you think about that, Kartik.
Well, thank you so much, Jasmine, for highlighting a lot of things. One of the great things about the glasses is that it's a continuously evolving product, you know, and we learn a lot from the community and the user feedback. So going back to the first time you got your hands on the glasses, we've learned that every user has a certain learning curve when it comes to working with the glasses, because the glasses are such a radically new form factor than having a smartphone around. It does take a bit of time and a bit of guidance to actually go ahead and be able to like scan stuff with the glasses a lot more easily or to really get the flow right. You need to actually practice a bit, which is why what we started doing with all new users of the glasses, and also it's an option available for a lot of existing users, is that Envision personally does the new like onboarding for a customer when they actually buy a pair of Envision glasses today. Because we've realized that, you know, whilst you might get a demonstration from a distributor, or you might get a demonstration from a local organization that, you know, such as what happened in your case, you know, I think the best people to be able to give you guidance and tips on how best to scan stuff with the glasses, be it scanning a document, be trying to scan a book, be trying to angle your head in the right manner when you're making a video call, for example, all those things are part of a 1-hour onboarding session that we have with new customers. And as an existing glasses user, you can also go ahead and, you know, reach out to the support team and request an onboarding. And what we do is we really sit down with them, with the customer and with the glasses user, first start them off with how to pair their glasses with the phone, how best to connect to your hotspot on your phone, for example, how best to connect to the Wi-Fi, really guide them through all of the different features of the glasses. And then maybe we, you know, specifically touch upon how best to go ahead and scan documents with the glasses. What are some of the tips and tricks that, you know, we've seen other users use, you know, when trying to scan stuff. So all of those things are now part of like really like a really a 1-hour onboarding session. And that's one of the things that we started introducing over the last couple of months, you know, that, you know, as the Envision team started to grow a little bit, we now have more bandwidth to actually offer these kind of onboardings for customers whenever they make purchase of the glasses. So anyone making a purchase of the glasses, be it anywhere in the world, gets a message from the Envision team as soon as they buy a pair of glasses that they can go ahead and schedule an onboarding. People schedule the onboarding with us. We sit down with them for an hour, sometimes even like, hour and a half, and really walk them through the different aspects of the glasses easily. The second thing, when you spoke about, you know, scanning documents, that was actually one of the big feature launches that we had a couple of months ago, right? We introduced something called Smart Guidance, which does exactly what you spoke about, wherein the glasses sort of, you know, guide you on how to move the document in order to capture it entirely. So this whole act of you trying to scan it 10 or 15 times and trying to get all that information, that is not needed anymore. You really don't have to second guess whether you're holding a document or a book correctly in front of the glasses or not. What the glasses do is that as soon as you hold a document anywhere in the field of view of the glasses, it first guides you saying, move document left, move document up. And as soon as you have the entire document in frame, you hear the camera shutter sound, it automatically captures the document or the book for you. And then it also understands the layout of the document as well right now. So if you're trying to scan a magazine article or a newspaper article, which has columns, or if you're trying to scan like a document which contains headings, the glasses are able to easily go ahead and identify these for you accurately and then read it out in the correct reading order. And you can also go ahead and export the text that you now scan with the glasses along with all the heading information and all those things over to the Envision app and then use it there, right? So we have solved the problems that you faced as an early adopter of the glasses. And I strongly encourage anyone who's listening to the podcast who has been a user of the Envision glasses to update to version 1.6.0. That's the version that has the smart guidance and the layout detection feature that I'm talking about right now. So we actually took the feedback from the community with regards to these two points and you know, incorporated them into the product. So any new customer gets an onboarding of the glasses, and anyone who wants to scan a book or a document with the glasses, you know, which is really what most people try to do with it a lot, we've actually gone ahead and added those two. So yes, we've gone ahead and worked on exactly those points that you mentioned right now. And of course, we're not going to stop with that, right? The layout detection is also going to be able to recognize tables in the future. So if you're trying to read a bank statement or an account statement, the glasses would be able to do that. And, you know, we're going to continue to improve the smart guidance feature as well. And the reason why we didn't introduce this in the beginning was that the smart guidance feature was a very technically challenging feature for Envision to build. And, you know, we had to work a lot on the AI and make it reliable enough. And yeah, today it pretty much works in most lighting conditions, and it works for any kind of document that you show it.
Well, that is absolutely incredible, Kartik, because that's exactly what I was, that was my main challenge. And I'm just amazed to hear how hard you and your team have worked to make this feature a possibility, you know, to actually bring it to life. And to fact that, you know, the fact that we as users can actually test this out and it's available and it's resolved that issue. And I'm just wondering, for the existing users, in terms of the update, is that a free update or is that something so it's a free update that you can automatically do from the glasses, something that you have to activate manually?
All the updates that we are pushing out, you know, I mean, we do have a policy where after 2 years, you'll have to pay like a small fee per year for updates. But for the first 2 years of the glasses, all updates are entirely free. So this particular update is also entirely free. So anyone who made a purchase of the glasses anytime last year, you know, this update is available completely free of cost. With regards to the second point, you can go ahead and update the glasses directly from within the Envision glasses itself. So within the Envision glasses, you have like the device settings, you know, option, and you can just go into the device setting option. Within that particular category, you will have a menu item called software update. So you can just double tap on that, and then it will tell you if the software update is available. And like I said, anyone who is using the glasses can update to version 1.6.0. And that basically contains, you know, the smart guidance update as well. Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to updating the glasses and, you know, testing this feature out. And are you able to update the glasses independently? Do they have to be paired to the app, or can the update occur without the pairing of the glasses to the app?
Whenever you use the Envision glasses, you can use it as a completely standalone device. Of course, you do pair it with the app, but you don't need to have your phone around. You don't need to keep the app open on your phone and all those things. You just need to pair the Envision glasses once with the Envision app. And once you do that, you basically go ahead and, you know, you can start using the Envision glasses. So anyone who's, you know, able to use the Envision glasses has paired the app, you know, has paired the glasses with the app. And in this particular case, you don't need to use the app at all to go ahead and update your glasses. So you can just put your phone away as long as your glasses are connected to a stable Wi-Fi connection and has sufficient charge, then it can go ahead and, you know, update it completely, you know, standalone, in a completely standalone manner. So what I would recommend you to do is, I would recommend you to charge your glasses fully. And I would also recommend you to connect the glasses to a stable Wi-Fi connection. And then once you have both of these in place, you can just go ahead and update to 1.6.0. It is a big update, so it might take a bit of time, but you should be able to get through it just fine if you have a stable Wi-Fi connection.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
Those of us using screen reading technology for some time to speak and braille information from our desktop and laptop screens know that when it comes to PDF, portable document format, the popular file type developed by Adobe, accessibility, let's be honest, it can sometimes vary quite a lot. And it really does depend on to what extent the author considered accessibility. Well, Tasneem is along now with a demonstration of a tool in the JAWS screen reader that will hopefully improve your access to your next PDF.
I've got my PDF document selected, but I don't have it open. So as you can hear, it's a supervisor's handbook, and that's what JAWS has just told me. So I'm going to hit the applications key, which is three keys to the right of the spacebar on a standard keyboard. It may be different on a laptop, so please be aware of this. And I'm just going to hit that key before I've opened the file to see what my options are.
Applications, context menu, O, open with Adobe Acrobat Reader DCO.
And I'm going to move down until I hear the convenient OCR option.
Open O, print key, picture smart with JAWS, convenient OCR, the word with JAWS, I, convenient OCR with JAWS, O.
And I'm going to hit enter and see what happens.
Enter, leaving menus, trainee supervision, items view, multi-select list box, final PG cert, Liberty Supervisor's Handbook 2019-2025/05/2022-1657, Adobe Acrobat document 1067 KB, 103, document OCR started.
So as you can hear, it's now OCRing, which stands for optical character recognition. And that noise that it's making tells me that it's doing the job. And JAWS has also stated that it's doing this. So we shall see what JAWS makes of the document in a few moments.
Postgraduate and graduate certificate in low-intensity psychological interventions concluded by the British Psychological Society Supervisor Handbook 2019-20, a collaborative program between NHS providers with the University of Berkeley.
Okay, so let me see, move further down the page and see what blurb we can make of this. Okay, so you can hear that it's actually done a fairly good job. So that's one simple solution if you are struggling with PDF documents. This is one way of accessing them. This feature is available on the kind of 2018-2019 version of JAWS onwards. So if you do have an earlier version of JAWS, it may be that this option isn't available for you until you update.
I know in certain circles, PDF can be a bit of a dirty word. And thank you, Tasneem Arshad, there for your demonstration of that handy feature in JAWS that hopefully improves accessibility. Tasneem, since recording that demonstration, is there anything else that you think blind and partially sighted people can do to improve accessibility when it comes to reading PDFs?
Yeah, very interesting question. I mean, for me personally, my experience of them, it's been very problematic, and I'm really glad that JAWS have this feature available now in one of the later versions of JAWS. So if you have an earlier version of JAWS, it's just about being mindful that that feature might not be available. This is in one of the later versions. So I think there are things like KNFB Reader around, which is an app which Public Alum knows more about, that it is paid for, but I've heard it's pretty good. And I know a lot of people use that app if they're on their iPhone or Android, whatever device they have. They can transfer information across, and some people really find that quite helpful as a on the move to convert PDFs. And I guess some of them are made accessible, but very minimal in my experience. So I really welcome this feature from JAWS.
Callum, do you have much occasion to use PDF in your work or home life?
They come up a lot at work. It's quite common for people to just send a quick PDF of something. And it's a tough one with PDFs because it really does just fully depend on how the author has done it, you know, and how, if they've structured it, if they've tagged it properly, if they've added alt text to their images. But what I find pretty good for reading them, because I know Adobe Acrobat and things like that, those programs are accessible, But what I tend to do now is, on Windows especially, is just open it up in Microsoft Edge. The latest versions of Edge support PDFs very, very well. And that seems, for me, that just seems to be a really nice reading experience. And obviously it doesn't fix the accessibility as such, but it does give you, you know, a nice, easy, accessible way to read it. And you can just up and down arrows to navigate through. You can jump by headings, again, if they've been put in. So I find Edge really good. But I didn't even know this feature of JAWS existed. So I'm going to definitely try this. I'm lucky enough to have the latest version. But yeah, if you have an older version of JAWS, then, you know, that could be a workaround. You know, try Edge. I think Chrome would also do this. So, you know, you could try opening it up in Chrome. They, you know, sometimes can give you a slightly better experience. And Edge has read aloud features as well. So there's a slight chance that if JAWS isn't working for you and isn't picking something up, you could try the browser's built-in read aloud function, and that might just be able to get those little bits that JAWS isn't quite recognizing, potentially.
Yeah, or using an app on your phone, perhaps, something like KNFB Reader, I think will perform optical character recognition. So this is where you have a PDF that just contains images of the text rather than the actual text, and the KNFB Reader app will do that. Voice Dream Reader, I think, is another useful app that will work with some PDFs. But Callum makes some really good points there, Tasneem, about advocacy and the things that we need to ask for when we're communicating with authors of PDFs. You know, things like tagging and headings. Have you tried that when you've had a PDF that's been particularly problematic? Have you tried going back to the source and trying to find out, you know, look, is there another way I can access this information? Or, you know, is there things that you could do to make it more accessible?
I mean, I haven't personally done that because majority of the PDFs that I come across has been in the workplace. And I think it's an avenue to certainly explore, but I also have cited support as part of my role in the NHS. So I think it's more, I have the flexibility really of having cited assistance. If something's not accessible, then it can be converted or read out to me. So, but I would prefer to be able to have that independent access.
Absolutely right. Yes, indeed. And we shouldn't forget that, as much as we love technology on this show, that actually sometimes, you know, human support is really where it's at. And you can, of course, get that from volunteers using things like Be My Eyes, or professionally using services like IRA. Or it may be that if you are in employment or in higher education, that you can access funding to pay for a PA or somebody who can work with you for a number of hours a week to help with accessing difficult content. But that, of course, doesn't mean we shouldn't give up the fight. You know, we should keep going, Callum. Do you think, you know, that even if we've got access to that human support, it's important to continue to build awareness and make sure that people are aware that when they provide information that isn't fully accessible, that actually there are benefits, not just for blind and partially sighted people, but for everybody to make that content more accessible?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about this from a blindness perspective, but those things, you know, tagging things appropriately, putting in headings, putting in links, you know, properly tagged alt text on images. And it's not just us that helps, you know, people with, people might be using software if they've got dyslexia, people might be using voice control, you know, so they can just tell their computer to kind of click on certain elements. And of course, say you've got a link that's not officially tagged as a link and they're trying to tell their software click the link, it's going to have the same issue as it would with us trying to navigate by links. You know, it wouldn't recognize it. So no, sometimes you just can't beat human support. But absolutely, you know, these small changes as well, because they're not difficult. In 99% of cases, they're not difficult changes to make, and they really do benefit everyone.
Still to come on Tech Talk, we'll be checking in with your listener email. Always glad to hear from you. And we'll be hearing part two of our interview with one of the founders and CTO from Envision, Tasneem Arshad and Callum Stoneman. Thanks very much. It's always good to hear from you here at Tech Talk. And one person who's written to techtalk@rnib.org.uk, it's T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K, @rnib.org.uk, is Nick Stone with his perception of attending exhibitions. And he said that he lives in the Southwest. And Nick, you travelled up to a Site Village event a few years ago. You found the journey to be quite expensive and quite difficult. And actually, when you got there, while people were helpful, when you got into the venue, you just found the experience, you know, overwhelming. And Nick goes on to say that he feels that, you know, particularly the big technology companies really should try harder to bring the technology to us. Any thoughts about that, guys?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, firstly, thank you, Nick, for sharing your reflections and experiences. And I can relate to what he's saying in terms of being in a large crowd of people. You know, if you've ever attended a concert, it's part and parcel of what to expect, isn't it? And I think that's a very individual experience. So for me personally, you know, I've always had, you know, quite reasonable and balanced experiences when going to various networking events. So it's been manageable, it's been okay. So, but yeah, I can completely understand where he's coming from. And I think in terms of bringing products to us to be demonstrated, I think it's important to make it collaborative, really, and cost-effective across the board. So both with in terms of blind and partially sighted people educating organisers and services and giving that regular feedback and us working together, that would be my view on it. What do you think, Callum?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I went to Site Village Central this year, and what I will say as well, just quickly, the assistance there was incredible. Because I went on my own and, you know, I got a volunteer sighted guide and, you know, they were absolutely fantastic. They couldn't have been more helpful. But no, I do get it. It is a busy, crowded environment. There's a lot of people around. There's a lot of dogs around as well. And my guide dog is particularly kind of bad for dog distraction. So she was looking around, wagging her tail constantly. So, yeah, I do get that. And if you're not comfortable in that sort of environment, then, yeah, you know, of course it can be a bit overwhelming. But it's just down to preference at the end of the day, you know, personal preference. But I think the comment about bringing the equipment to us more often, I think, I don't know, I think it's a bit of an unfair criticism, because you can ring up a lot of these companies, you know. So I know Sight and Sound, I'm using them as an example because they definitely do this. You can ring them and arrange a demo for most products that they sell, and they will bring them out to you and they'll demo it in your home or your workplace if you wanted to. But I guess if you rang them up and said, for example, I don't know, I'm totally blind and I'm starting uni in September, what have you got that would help me? I imagine, and don't quote me on this, but I imagine they could bring out a bunch of different things to you and let you have a look and a play around. But that would only be the things that they sell. You know, it wouldn't be kind of across the board, across a variety of different companies. Whereas the benefit of something like Site Village is the discovery aspect. You know, you can have a look at products and services and equipment that, you know, you might find something that you didn't even know existed. And the only way to really do that, I think, is to go to an event where you've got these various different companies and services and people you can speak to.
I do have some sympathy with you, Nick. I've been there, stood waiting for ages, as you describe, at an exhibition stand to speak with a rep, and it can be really hot as well, you know, particularly with those shows that are in July. So maybe taking Callum's advice and calling the company and asking them, you know, is there any possibility to bring their equipment out and give you that demo at a time and a place that is a little bit more comfortable for yourself. Nick says, for anyone who is severely visually impaired, I do not recommend this as an enjoyable day out. And I guess that's it. We're all different. I quite like the opportunity to see multiple products in one day, you know, kind of side-by-side comparisons. It's nice to go around and feel three or four different Braille displays from different manufacturers, you know, within, you know, a few minutes of each other. But I absolutely recognise what you're saying, Nick, and I think you've made some really valid points. We've also had a call to the helpline, and if you'd rather call in, you can do that. If you ring 0303 123 9999, that's 0303 123 9999, you can leave a message for Tech Talk, or indeed speak with our Technology for Life team. And Maria called, and she just wanted to say, you know what? I love the new show. Callum's knowledge is very good. So you've got a fan there, Callum.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Maria. So we always appreciate that feedback. And if you've got a suggestion or an item that you would like to hear on Tech Talk, please do get in touch. Callum Stoneman, Tasni Marshad. Thanks again. We return now to our interview with Karthik Kannan from Envision.
So can I ask a bit about where the idea for Envision came from in general? You know, you guys behind it, are you visually impaired yourselves? Or, you know, how did you come up with the idea for the products and the company?
So we're not visually impaired, like me and my co-founder, we're not visually impaired. We don't have any family members or friends who are also visually impaired. So it always amazes people, you know, when they hear that we don't have anyone in our lives who are visually impaired, as to why we decided to build a company like Envision. But to do that, I've got to take you back almost, you know, 6 years, just a day like today, really hot, sweltering, sunny day in the south of India, in my hometown, Chennai. Me and my co-founder, we had actually gone to a school for the visually impaired, you know, because one of my friend's mothers requested me to come there and give a talk. And the whole idea was to talk to kids who are just passing out of high school about what does a developer, what does a software developer, and what does a designer do, right? What do designers and developers do? You know, it's supposed to be a very simple conversation about how, you know, a programmer or a designer is someone who just basically solves problems. You know, like I wake up every day in the morning, I get to work, and I just solve problems for a living. And that was the gist of the conversation. And after the talk, I had a chance to interact with the kids there, and we were talking about what kind of problems would these high school kids like to solve when they grow up. I think everyone had something to do in some form or the other with independence. They'd like to be able to read books more independently. They would like to be able to go out more independently. I think all of the answers that came around were all about independence. And that was sort of the moment where, you know, me and, you know, my co-founder, you know, my friend and co-founder, I think the two of us, it kind of struck us that so many aspects of life that us sighted people take for granted was something of a chore or a major obstacle for someone with a visual impairment. And especially in a country like India, where there is not a lot of awareness about accessibility, and it's you know, and opportunities are in general limited, you know, that kind of obstacle was even more profound to me and my co-founder. And that's sort of was the starting point for Envision. So instead of going back home that day, the two of us went to a cafe near the school, and we just started to talk about different ideas that kind of struck us about how we could work on something that could improve independence for people with the visual impairment. Specifically, I was talking to him about the advances that were happening in artificial intelligence at that time. So like artificial intelligence wasn't really a big deal back in 2016 as it is today, right? There were so many aspects of it that were still in its infancy. But what I could see very early on was its potential to be something that, you know, was truly life-changing. So I could see that there are a lot of areas where AI was starting to become a lot better than humans in terms of, you know, being able to read text, for example. You know, AI was far outpacing humans in being able to do that. So we thought we could start building a project that would go ahead and, you know, that it wasn't meant to be a company. We didn't really start out with the goal of Envision becoming a company itself. It was just a project that we wanted to do. I was in between jobs. I was taking a sabbatical. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take 6 months off, work on this thing, because it was a really interesting problem. And I knew that us making some kind of progress, even if it was just in the form of a project and publishing that, would be interesting for us to do. So that's how Envision started. So we started working on the Envision project for about 6 months. And our main aim was to really build a prototype app where visually, you know, with which a visually impaired person could just take a picture and then the app would scan whatever was in the picture. And if it was text, it will speak out the text for them. If it was an image, it would try to give you a description of the image. So it was just, you know, the ugliest of apps at that time, right? When it was a prototype, it was just a white screen with a blue button on it. And it had like basic voiceover support. You could go on the button and then, you know, click it, take a picture, and then it would speak everything out to you. So that was a prototype, and we improved that prototype over the span of 6 months. And we started doing a lot of testing with the users. So we started spending a lot of time talking to users in the Netherlands, talking to users all over Europe. And slowly we kind of built, ended up building a user base of like 400 to 500 people. And all of them were entirely organic, right? We didn't go out looking for for people to install the app. The whole idea was just to go ahead and, share this prototype with people and get their feedback and improve on it. So at the end of 6 months, we ran out of money for the project. And we just, I still remember it was like a Friday evening. And I remember just sent out an email to all the people who were on the Envision project at that time, telling them that, hey, we're going to shut down the app because, it's been great. We learned a lot and we're going to publish all of this stuff. And, you know, thank you for being a part, participating in this study. And the next morning, I remember waking up to like, out of the 500 odd people that I emailed to, waking up to at least like 400 people who emailed me back saying that, why would you guys shut this thing down? This is this app, even though as clunky as it is, even though it keeps crashing every now and then, is a part of my home screen. If you guys really want to make a dent, you have to go ahead and do this full time. You've got to start this as a company. And so that was sort of the motivation for us to start Envision as a company. So I moved from India to the Netherlands because we already set up a base of users in the Netherlands, and we had great contacts with the local community there. And that's how Envision as a company began. It was in 2017 that we started Envision as a company, and we've been working on it full time ever since then.
So I'm an Envision user. I don't have the glasses, but I do have the app. And I got an interesting email from you guys the other day, actually, about the welcoming me to the Envision community. Do you want to just tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I think this has been in the works for a long time. We've always wanted to bring, everybody from within the Envision community, both people who use the app, people who use the glasses, to come together to have a place where they can talk about all things Envision, all things accessibility. Because, try as we want to, we see the visually impaired community having a lot of, separate pockets. So there is Apple Viz for all Apple users. There is a pocket of Android users. There are people who are probably using some other wearable stuff. So usually we see this, we see the community out there in different pockets, which is fine. But at the same time, we wanted to have a place where, for example, the Envision team could interact with the Envision users more easily, right? And we didn't want to always send emails or push notifications. We wanted to do this in a slightly more organic way. And that's how the idea for the Envision community started. So now we have communities on Facebook, on Twitter, on Telegram. The community is going to be the place where envisioners, we call people who are using any of Envision's product as envisioners. We want envisioners and the Envision team to have a natural organic place where they can come and interact. And that is the Envision community. And we're going to definitely put more focus on that. We have people within Envision who are working on some very interesting things for the Envision community. And we hope it becomes a place where people can come and talk about not just Envision, but anything that's interesting to them about assistive technology and wearables is also welcome onto the community.
Interesting. So we'll look forward to hearing more about that in the future. So am I right in thinking then that this is kind of a way for you guys to get feedback about the product and about Envision and a place to connect? And from a connection point of view, being able to connect with other people who are maybe visually impaired and stuff, am I right in thinking that you don't necessarily have to be an Envision user to join? You could just use it as a kind of platform to just make some connections.
Exactly. We do want to build a place for people who are really excited about such technologies. It could be, they could be an Envision user, they could not be an Envision user. That doesn't really matter a lot because these are open communities. Anyone can come and join them. There is no like a barrier to entry saying that, oh, you have to be like a glasses user or you have to be an app user to be able to do that. And that's also because, you know, personally, I would love to be in, you know, be part of such a community, because so much of my work involves talking to people from within the community, understanding, you know, the kind of products they use, the kind of problems they face. And it's just really being immersed in that community is something that I want to do. And I spend a lot of my time on all these different forums that I just spoke about. And, you know, I was thinking for the longest time, yeah, we should build something like this of our own, where people from across different, you know, borders could come, like people who are probably using an iOS device or an Android device, or people who are using a wearable, you know, glass for some other reason, could all come and discuss technology and can discuss ways we can all move forward. So I wanted to build such a kind of community, and that's what the Envision community is today.
Well, it's been a great conversation. Before we let you go, I hear you've got some kind of announcement for us.
Yes, I do. I'm actually quite nervous about making this announcement because it was, you know, this is the first time that I'm going to be talking about it publicly on any podcast. So the first big announcement, ever since, just to give some background, you know, to this particular announcement, one of the main reasons why we started Envision was to try and make something like artificial intelligence and wearables as accessible as possible to as many people as possible. You know, while we are a company at the end of the day, a for-profit company at the end of the day, our aim has never been to kind of, you know, to always innovate to, you know, the platform, the product, you know, be it the app or the glasses, keep innovating, keep building and keep improving on this. The very first step that we took was putting Envision on Android, for example. Like anyone who has an Android device that runs Android 7 and above, or sorry, Android 6 and above, which is an OS that came out almost 7-8 years ago, can run the Envision app today, right? You know, while there are other Android apps, I mean, for example, there's sort of the Google Lookout, but then those are relegated to very high-end devices like the Pixel or a Samsung, which, you know, I know a lot of visually impaired people in the community have those kind of high-end devices, but you know, large, by and large in the Android community, people have like, you know, your, you know, in countries like India, for example, you have like a $50-$60 smartphone. That's really what the range is. So we worked a lot in the early days of Envision to try and make the Envision technology accessible for even people who have like, you know, an Android device that might not be very high powered. The second, you know, sort of wave when it came to making the Envision technology more accessible was we figured out ways to lower the cost of the app. We initially charged $5 per month to go ahead for the app itself. And we figured out a way a couple of years ago, it was in 2019, actually, to bring the price of the app down by almost 50%, right? Where we can go ahead, where we now charge €2 per month, $2 per month to go ahead and use the app itself. So we've always tried to, you know, work our way around to reducing the cost of the app. So the first big announcement that I have is that the Envision app is going to be completely free. So we are giving the same Envision app, you know, that is there today. You know, we're going to continue to keep improving the Envision app, of course, but the Envision app is going to be completely free, no strings attached. You know, it's going to be available at no cost to users on both iOS and Android. That's the first sort of big announcement that I have to make. There is no other reason, you know, behind this rather than us, you know, figuring out ways to improve the app to a point where we believe we can run it at very low cost. And we realized that instead of really us pocketing that difference, which is the most businessy thing to do, we decided to really go ahead and pass it on to the end user. So we feel that because of all the innovation that we have built over the last 5 years, we're now able to offer the app completely free of cost. And we're going to have this starting from mid-July. So that's the first one. The second announcement is that we're running a limited time offer on the Envision glasses, where we're offering the Envision glasses At $24.99, so that's around £2,000. Right now, you know, before the offer, the glasses are priced at £2,600, excluding VAT. But after the offer, we are pricing glasses as £2,000. You know, in total. So that's basically what the cost of the glasses is going to be in the UK, and in the US, it's going to be $24.99. So from the 3,000 odd euros that we have right now, we're bringing it down to €23.99, you know, euros, $24.99, and £2,000, as against the £2,600 that it's currently costs right now for the Envision glasses. So the first announcement is the Envision app is going to be completely free, people don't have to pay a subscription for the app anymore. And the second thing is that we're running a limited time offer where you can get the Envision glasses at a whopping 25% discount. So you just pay £2,000 for the glasses as against £2,600 right now. So those are the two big announcements that I had to make.
There you go. Fantastic news from Envision. So if you've heard about them, or if this is your first time hearing about them and you're curious, go and give it a go. Grab that app, and it's completely free now. So give it a go. Fantastic news. Thanks so much, Kartik, for coming on, giving us your time, and for sharing all this with us. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, Taz. Thank you, Callum.
Thank you so much, Kartik, for your time. Really been amazing.
That's all we have for you this time on Tech Talk, but do tune in next week for more accessible technology news and interviews and reviews that we hope you can use. Tasneem Arshad, thank you very much.
Thank you, and bye for now.
Callum.
Bye for now.
And from me, Dave Williams, bye for now.